Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Yeah.
Amen. I'm reading New King James Version.
All right, please.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had foreordained that we should walk in them. So my subject tonight is, men are God's workmanship. Men are God's workmanship. That means male and female. Men are God's workmanship. Hallelujah. Yeah, we thank God for that. So Paul says, for we are his workmanship. We are his tools. We are the things that he holds in his hands, or the elements he holds in his hands to do what he wants to do. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them, walk in that grace of being his workmanship, walk in the good works. So men are God's instruments and God's tools. We are all created by the mercies of God and by the grace of God to come into this world, not to only have our lives, but also have a purpose. And I want to say this quickly, that I want to take this few seconds to address the issue of purpose, because it is important for every one of us here tonight to understand that apart from coming to this world to have all that belongs to you, all that you yearn for, your life must make an impact in the world. We all carry different assignments, but every assignment we carry has got a pointer. It points to the end results. That is the glory of God. That is the name of the Lord be praised. We all carry different agenda, different positions. God has placed us in different positions. So we all can come from Africa. It's not possible. And we all can come from Europe. God is dynamic, and God's power, his creative mechanism and his creative power is not limited to one place. So God created us in various zones and different places and different cultures. The beauty of his creation is that, please mute your phone, please. The beauty of his creative power is that he created us with different mindsets. It's amazing how you go to places and you see or understand how people behave or people live. Different cultures. Sometimes you walk around the globe, you try to go around and you realize that people are having different culture. So I mean, in Ghana here, if you use your left to give something to someone, it's an insult here. It's a big insult, trust me. If you talk to somebody in Ghana and you use your left to point something, hey man, you're in trouble. I mean, now with modernization, it's not a big deal like it used to be, but it's a very big deal. But trust me, go to Kenya, they even eat with their left hand. So the first day I went to Kenya, they were going to give offering and they're using their left hand. I was like, hey. And the pastor told me, wait till we get home, you understand it better. They were eating with their left hand. So for them, left hand is normal. So you see, God has made every one of us beautiful and different cultures, different ideas, and different identity. For you as a child of God, you have to understand thing that you look at everybody and everyone around you from the standpoint of God. If you become culturally inclined, if you become societal inclined, you may miss the kingdom agenda as you go to places, from places to places. Because how you were raised, the environment you were raised in, What influences your choice and your actions and your decisions is by your environment and the association. So you can have twins. One can be raised in USA and one will be raised in Africa or probably Australia or Canada. They're the same blood, they're the same parents, but the environment will affect them. So our environment has affected us so much. So the first thing that God gave us was to change our environment. He brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of light. Because the environment affects things. So our translation into the kingdom of light is for us to have effective godly environment. So life has different meanings and different positions, different assignments, but we have one pointer to the goal, that is God's name be glorified. And I want you to understand this principle. Whatever you see on this earth in God's own sovereignty works at the end of the day for his name to be glorified. He is God. He is God by himself. No one created him and nobody can control him. He is God by himself. He created the world by himself. He had power by himself. And things move as he has ordained it. So his sovereignty and his nature, of course his nature is good, kind and everything, allows things to happen. Because he is not moved by the things on this earth. Remember that. And that's one thing you should be having at the back of your mind and your heart. If I say he's not moved by the things in this, I'm not saying he's not concerned, no. I'm saying he's not threatened. Let me put that word properly. But he's concerned. But he's not threatened by the things in this world. So the things in this world is disasters, death. But how do you go to God? How do you translate or translate into the new life that God has for you if you don't die? So those things are not a threat to him. Understand that principle. So the things that happen, natural disasters, we lose loved ones, we lose this. In all these cases, understand that we are on our way to a different place. And the time system and the seasons, he's not threatened by them. Because he can control them and he does control them. He allows things to happen. There are days he allows them. And all those things are purposefully made for his name to be glorified. So the Bible says in Psalm 100, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So he created us in his likeness. That is why the best decision a child of God can make is to align to the ways of God. Is to align to the purposes of God and align yourself to the will of God. Because the moment you want to go your way, you are standing totally opposite of what he wants to do. And that is chaotic. Imagine everything about your life is going west, about from God's point and from God's plan, and you decide to go north. So we are called, we have been created for a purpose. As you take your Bible to read, you realize that stories of the Bible and things in the Bible and the things that are in the Bible, like I was saying the other time, what God wants us to know is what is written in the Bible. They have said all kinds of things. They will fight and say, it's okay. But understand this. Yes, they will fight, but they will not prevail. They don't be fighting today. This thing about Bible, God, it's not today. This thing about all these things that are doing, the June power, the LGBT, it didn't start today. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, before even David came to the system. So it has been there. So understand that nothing new is really happening. It's just the enemy trying to do a cycle of destruction. But understand that then all these things, all power belongs to God. And all victory belongs to Jesus. So whenever you are a child of God, you are in the kingdom of God, you are actually in the realm of covering and victory. No matter how the life will go, you are covered. So back to our point, he said we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are created for the purposes of God. Your life, apart from going to work on Monday to Sunday and have money, pay your fees, pay your rent, buy your food, do all the things for your children and your spouse, you need to understand that there is a purpose for your life. There is a purpose that needs to be fulfilled that will bring a lesson and bring an achievement and bring a legacy for the generations after you. Life is cycled in we transferring things or handing over in the form of baton to generations after us. So we were taught by our parents, we were raised by our parents, raised by our great-grandfathers. The Bible, we're taught, some of us when we were growing up, we were young people, we were Christians, taught by Sunday school teachers. Some of them are passed on. Some are still alive, some are on their old ages. They taught us all these things, and we are also handing the same lessons. That's why I keep telling you, as a mother, as a pastor, as a father, you have an assignment to hand the word of God rightly, to communicate it rightly to the next person behind you. By your side. So the first purpose for us as God's people is that we are created in, as we are workmanship, we are his tools. We are in his hands to produce the glory of God. So no matter how you do your things, let that point be in your mind. That at the end of the day, I also have to have a place in my life for God. And I'm praying that in the name of Jesus tonight, we will come to the place of that understanding. That will make room for him. Hallelujah. We make room for him. And it's so sad how we hear people. And you see, Christians are very, we Christians, including myself, we can be very, very, very strange and weird sometimes. You know, that's the best word I can use now. Because when it comes to certain things, the way we even respond to God, it looks as if we have some bad mind for him. Do you understand that thing? There are days you speak to Christians and the way we talk is like, we are some wicked people that we have some bad mind. I'll come to my point. We have some bad mind reserving it to attack the Lord. For example, when God called people into ministry, what are you thinking about? And people start fighting it. And you're wondering like, so what are you doing on this earth? To drive car and buy food and give birth to children and die and go? Really? Then what are you doing here? If you come and eat and just leave and watch, go and sit in a plane and go around, then you are not needed in this earth. I'm sorry for that. But that's the truth. Whenever you talk to people about the callings of God, the workings of God, ministry, working for God, it becomes so weird how some Christians, okay, I've gone around them, the way they react as if there's a personal banter with God. Wow. I don't know if you've also observed that. There are many people who are willing to do it, and that's a good one. But majority are kind of, they have this resilience and this kind of, they have to become very angry and show some kind of bitterness, you know. And I pity those people because at the end of the day, we are looking at the whole system of God that has been in place from creation. And how do you turn against the whole system? So in his hands, we are workmanship. We are his men. We are his tools to work. We are what he relies on to work. We are his ambassadors in the kingdom. We are his representatives in the kingdom. We represent God. We represent Christ. We are the examples. Paul said we are the epistles to people. Other people have said we are the walking Bible. Our lives must shine to other people. They must see it. It must be seen. They must understand from their point that God has got men who are good in this world. So if a child of God is not working, like Paul said in Ephesians, working in your vocation or in your profession or your calling as a child of God, you make everyone around you know that there's no good thing. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Our first assignment is to become disciples of Christ by example in our lifestyle. So he has got you as his workmanship. How does God show love to people? Listen, and men are God's tools. For God to show love to this wicked guy who doesn't believe God exists, he has to use you. There's a guy in your office who is very stubborn, and God has to use you. Who else is he going to use? There's someone who have come to church and they think all is about one way lifestyle and they are down, they are dirty, they come to church in their brokenness and they are all whatever they find themselves. And God wants to use you to tell them that I still love you. But here you are, you come to church and you are in groups.
Wow.
We come to church, we close, we walk in groups. We don't even have time for other people. She's not in my group. Which one is that? You all belong to God. We come to church, people are coming to church, and see, I'm not saying don't rebuke people, don't correct them. No, far from that. But I'm saying that, how does God show love to someone who is down? How does God prove to this young person that I have good people who are working in the secular world and they are not corrupt? How does God do that? You are the people he's going to use. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. Many people come to us, they come in contact with us, and they must see that there's a Christian. The most painful thing is when we have the opportunity to show people we are Christians and we don't do that. It is a big loss to the kingdom. And I want to say this to everyone here tonight, including myself, that if you are here and you are not in that realm of making sure, yes, you may have your own differences, you may have your own bad times and everything, but it should be a conscious effort to be a Christian. Consciously. Listen, God, in his judgment, does not judge us collectively. Let me say this to you clearly. He doesn't judge us collectively. He judges us based on our knowledge of him and our walk with him. So there are things that God will judge you and will put you wrong, whereas you need to have done it better. But you will be comparing yourself to some other person standing by you. And that's a mistake. Don't ever let other people's character, other people's lifestyle become an impediment for you to sin against God. No.
Amen.
Yeah. In marriages, people do that. In business, people do that. Oh, if my husband do this, I'll do that. Now, your husband does not know God like you know him. You don't understand that principle. So you keep on chasing your husband and do what he's doing. At the end of the day, you realize that he will even get saved, and you lose your salvation. You lose it. Many people are doing things out there and we are comparing ourselves to people. Oh, if the pastors did this, I'm going to stop the church and get out of the go. Okay, you go. Is that what God told you to do? So people are doing all kinds of things and we are not responding to the fact that we are his workmanship. We are his, he rely on us. God's reliance on earth to show his glory is us. And go back to scripture. The three boys were able to prove him right that there are young people here. You can trust God. You can trust us. No matter how Nebuchadnezzar and his team are going to put us on a spot. No, they were put on a spot and put us to test. We are going to make sure we prove that there is God. I pray that this morning, this evening, this afternoon, you will have that grace to be an example to him wherever you go. Be an example. Don't be an abuser. You see, many people are abusers. We are just abusers. Hey, that's how bad we are. And that's how you wonder if we are really born again. In the world system, people trade good things to take advantage of other people. They want to help young girls by having an affair with them, sleeping with them and all that. People are abusers. Use people. Don't give them what they belong to them. Don't give people what they deserve. Are you going to do the same thing to them? No. What is the difference? Then you are not a light, but you are a reflector. Do you know what a reflector is? It's only when the light comes around you, you start shining. So when you are in church and we are speaking in tongues, you also start saying, but you are not really born again. Because you see, if you are born again, the light of God is full. You are full of the light of God. And your ways are perfect. Don't be an abuser. Don't abuse people that God brings your way. Sometimes God brings people your way. They are fragile. They are young people. They need help. And instead of you going all out as a child of God to make an impact in their lives and bless them, you put them on principles that are not even godly. And at the end of the day, you want to have your selfish ways.
Uh-huh.
And that is a problem. So you see people in the offices, one of those days I used to work in one of the telecommunications in Ghana, Airtel company. You see all these guys is saying he's an elder in the church. He's just chasing all the girls in the office. And the most bad thing is that you see him at his table playing gospel songs. This guy is mad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you see, instead of us being the light and being his workmanship and letting the enemy know that, hey, in this office, there are good people who fear God, we join the masses of demons. Join the masses of demons and their corporates and their people and their candidates, and we start doing the things they are doing. Where is the difference? Hallelujah. Tonight I pray that God will help us to make a difference. We have to. We have joined people to serve God under duress. We don't serve after love. We are serving under it's like conditional love. And that is not love. Love has not got any condition. We are serving him under condition. We serve God under condition. We relate to our neighbors under condition. So the conditions of our service to God, not in the church alone, to our neighbors. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbors as yourself. Sometimes you can be mean. You know, every Christian can be very mean, eh? Very, very mean. You go to the grocery stores, you find this young man sitting outside begging for food. It's food, huh? And you are here talking about demons. What is that? Ah, that guy is a demon. I think he's a demon. He's possessed. Please stop that. His food is actually you. He didn't attack you. In any case, Christ never said demons will come physically to you. He said, for we wrestle against flesh and blood. One time I was going to church. I was just on the road and I got in the traffic and I met this guy. He came to ask me for food. And all the money I had was the money I was going to give for offering. And God said, give the money to him. So I opened the envelope and I gave the money to him. And he said, I said, you should go with the money. And the Lord told me, I don't need this money in the church. This is what I want you to do. I'm not saying go and share your money on the roadside, but there are instances that the love of God must be shown to people. Hallelujah. There are people you can pay their bills for them without giving them conditions. There are people you can house them in your home without conditions. Without conditions. You see, whenever the blessings God gives you cannot be in turn to be a blessing to humanity and to the kingdom of God, then you have lost it. Some of us are so selfish. We are very, very selfish Christians. And you know, so bad how we are selfish we are. We can support each other without any condition. Some even give you things and they are expecting you to come and give them to them. So, you know, and they even give offering and pastor doesn't call them. They start making noise and start causing confusion. Can you imagine that? Some don't even give offering. They want to now control the pastor how he should preach. Hey. Stay in your lane. What is that? So we have become conditional givers. We are not responding. Not all of us. I'm saying in church in general, not you. You are good. So we are not doing what God wants us to do. And you see, when we come to our tithe and our offering, God gives you 1,000. He said, give me 10%. Then you give God 2%. Because in your mind, you don't want to give that money to your pastor. You are denying him or you are denying the church. Whatever God said is to use the money and tithe for. That's how we think we are. So the power of God cannot move. But he said we are created in his, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works. God ordained all these things before we were created, that we should walk in them. Sometimes there are people that God brings your way, they are angels, they are future blessings. Hebrews 13 verse 1 and 2. 13 verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, it says, some having entertained angels unaware. Do you know how it was so painful for Abraham to sow the seeds, to Melchizedek do all those things? He has done everything possible in their power. Now he stands in his house and he sees these strange people going. He said, they look so tired. Their feet are dirty. Let me call them home and give them food. Little did he know that upon all the prophecies and the blessings he has been praising for, that was the point of breakthrough. You may be having a point of breakthrough and you miss it. And you see, when it comes to the things of God, don't think you are too smart for him. Don't think you know God so well. Don't make a mistake. Don't make that mistake. And don't ever think when you leave, God cannot use any other person. It's a big mistake. Don't try that. That was why Jesus was very plain to them. He said, if you refuse to worship, I will literally send stones. He's trying to tell them that I have control over everything. Don't think your seat in your position as whoever you are, from the pastor to the member, can't be occupied by somebody else. Don't make a mistake. Go and go ask Saul. When he was flaunting his wings and making noise, God said, I'll teach you a lesson. I'll carry this anointing from you and I'll give it to a bush boy, a boy in the bush with no regards, and make him the king of Israel. And I'll make him the king and make a covenant with him forever. And that's how bad it was. Even the descendants of Saul never inherited the kingdom again. And he said, even your own son Jonathan will connive with a guy against you. Yeah. So full of pride. How do you disrespect God and argue with the prophet? And that's what's happening now. Everywhere you think you are positioned, in the company, in the church, you can lose it. You can lose it. There's a David around you who looks so fragile. He looks so unimportant. But when God opens him up, you realize the things that God has placed in the David is so huge that can be better than what you are doing. Don't lose your kingdom, your throne to David by complacency. And that is why we have to understand that when it comes to our dealings with God, there are angels. God brings angels in disguise form. Abraham said, bring them home, wash their feet, give them food. Then the angels started speaking. They now have to reveal their identity. They said, tell Sarah that a year by this time, thou said the Lord, the prophecy will come to pass. And Sarah said, hey, this pastors, after giving you food, see what you are doing. But you see, that year it happened. Most of us, you see, we have lost certain blessings, we have lost certain things because of our insensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because of our impatience with the Holy Spirit. Where are you rushing to, child of God? Where are you going to? What is all this panting, threatens, impatience, frustrations leading you to? The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Wait for Him. He created the world. See, He can use just a second to turn your destiny around. Can't you see the stories around you? God can let tomorrow morning the phone call that will come to your phone connect you to the highest authority in the land and favor you. Or it happened to Joseph. Have you forgotten? So where are we rushing to? Where are we in a hurry to that we can't even wait for Him to have His way? There are many things that God does. You see, the act of God, the principles of God are laid in the humanity and the humility of mankind. Humanity means that you are human and you understand that there's God, and hand over to Him, submit to Him, and your humility to obey Him. There are many of us here, not on this church anyway, as I said, but in the kingdom, we are losing many, many good things because we are not sensitive to Him. Today, I pray that we become very sensitive in the name of Jesus. We become sensitive.
Amen.
Sensitive.
Amen.
In our spirit.
Amen.
There's a young person in your life today that God brought him to you and is very weak. He's your next David who will be on the throne. And the same David who is going to ask that, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I would show kindness to? When Saul lost everything, lost his people, lost his everything, and Mephibosheth was sick, was crippled, was disabled, and his descendant and his name was off. But David, with the fear of God, he didn't even kill Saul. He told Saul, I have every opportunity to kill you, but I'll not do it. How can I touch God's anointed? That's how the guy feared God. And when the guy who came with the message to David, he said, oh, at long last, I have killed your enemy. He took the sword and he killed him. He said, how dare you touch God's anointed? Now, in the days when he was in his power, he was ruling, he remembered that there was a man who at least served God. There was a Jonathan who stood with him. So David said, is there anyone in the house of Saul and Jonathan that I can show kindness to? There's a young man around you, a young woman around you. There's somebody around you today. He may be staying in your house, but some years to come, he will be that David that will show kindness to your children unborn. That will show kindness to your daughter somewhere in life. So you being sensitive to God It's a legacy you are leaving in the future. We will all not be here forever. That is a done deal. Some of us will go earlier than other people. We are going, we are on our way. All of us are in the queue. We are on our way to eternity. But the thing is that as you are leaving, who are you leaving behind? And whatever we are doing today as God's people, we should have it in mind that one day, don't be an abuser. Don't take people for granted. And don't look down on people. Of course, I know here we don't do that. Because all this element, it disables God's hand from working. Because if the tool is in his hands are not sharp enough, he can't work. That is why the Holy Spirit is there to make you sharp. That is why the Holy Spirit is there to speak to you, to correct you. So that when he stretches his hand to work, it will be effective. Today I pray that the power of God will be our portion in the name of Jesus. That as tools in his hands, we'll be able to do what he has called us to do. The power of God will make us very effective in so winning. There are many souls that you win today. Just say the love of Christ. Just tell them Jesus loves you. That is all. God never asks you to go and argue with anybody. He didn't call you to go and argue and explain with Muslims and Hindus and whatever, argue about. I told one guy in the airport the other day in Rwanda, I said, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And if you can believe in him, your sins will be forgiven. And you make a new creation. I was quiet. The guy looked at me and said, how does that work? I said, very good. Are you interested now? Can you go to the next level? Now I start to explain to him. You see, he didn't call you to argue with people. And the Islam is bad. You go to Dubai and go and say that they'll beat you, you see. The pastors who have been going to Dubai, one pastor went to Dubai was preaching against Islam. They arrested him. You have come to our land, they come to insult us. Go and preach Christ to them. That's all. So show love to people. Yes, they are in darkness, but show love to them. They are in darkness. Show love to them. Don't go around becoming a judge. He never called you as a judge. He called you as an advocate. Sorry, as an intercessor. Christ is the advocate. He never called you as a judge to be there and marking people's mistake. All you want to do is carry pen to church and buy and books to church. Now a man in the red dress, I don't like him dressing. You are always don't like people's own. You understand? And that's a big problem. Christ said, we are too blind that we are always seeing the wood or the problem in people's eyes. Or we can't see our own. That's when you try to stand in the seat of the judge. He never called you as a judge. He called you as a loving person. He called you to tell people that he will help them. He never called you to lead people to yourself. The pastor is not supposed to lead people to himself to tell how powerful he is. No. He called you to lead them to him that has called you. And in so doing, we lead the sheep to him. We don't call the sheep to ourselves. No. You don't win souls to ourselves. You don't tell them that I have power to save you. No. We are his workmanship. We work for him. We are stewards. We don't own anybody here. We don't own any church. No. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Christ. Yeah. As one guy was misbehaving back home, I told him, listen, you are killing yourself. I said, you think the church is mine? Oh, please, you are deceiving yourself. The church belongs to Christ. I'm just a servant here. Eh? I'm a steward. So if you think you are busy destroying the church, let me inform you nicely. You are destroying Christ and he will deal with you. So go out. Continue. I won't ask you to stop. Then I think that makes sense to him. Nobody owns any church. We don't own anybody. The church belongs to Christ. The children God has given to you belong to him. They belong to him. You are stewards. He gave you the children by his mercy. Don't maltreat the children. Don't say any bad things. Some parents can be very, very, very bad. Eh? Their words can be hurtful. They can say poisonous things to people and taint their destiny for good. And that's a bad one. Rav said, train the child the way he should go. The way he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. The way he should go.
Amen.
So as a mom, you are training them like the way Moses' mother, when he got the opportunity to nurse Moses in Pharaoh's house, in their palace, she taught taught Moses the way he should go. That was why when he grew up, he still had a love for his people. No matter how he was dressed in the Egyptian culture, he still had the heart of an Israelite. When he saw them, when he saw the Egyptian and the Jew, they were fighting, he joined the Jew to beat the Egyptian. And I think his muscles were too big, so he killed the guy. So train them the way they should go, in the ways of the Lord. Teach them the right thing, the right language. Don't be careless with them. Some parents are very careless. I don't care. They should do whatever they want to do. Hey, man, one day God will ask you. If you sit down today to say you don't care, he will ask you, so I trusted you with this, and you didn't care. Some people God brings you to them. They are doing the wrong things, and God wants you to correct them in love, but you don't do it. That is selfishness. Oh, let me leave them. Let them do whatever they want to do. I don't care. You see, we end up harboring bitterness for some time, for no reason. And the church is supposed to be a place of love. We have to correct people in love and be there for one another. We have to hold our hands. Amen. And close the loophole that Satan cannot enter. But we have all become very selfish. We see people going wrong. Then that's how strange it is that all of a sudden you see us fighting among ourselves. It's only in Christianity you have different doctrine. Some don't believe in the oil. Some say, can you imagine? The same Bible. Some pastors say, I don't believe in anointing oil. I don't believe in prophet. We are so troublesome. God's people are very, very troublesome sometimes. Eh? So because we are not being walking in love, and then we end up competing ourselves. Some don't believe in Titan. They don't believe in this. They don't believe, what is that? That is demonic. So we end up becoming confused. Jesus Christ said, if we rise against ourselves, if we fight against ourselves, we cannot stand. Any nation, any army that fight against themselves, they can't stand. They can't stand. But I pray that God will have mercy. And Jesus will remember his promise to the church. He said he will build his church in the gates of hell. We will not prevail against it. I'm praying tonight that we will come to the place to allow him to work in our lives. The last point that we're going to pray. Allow him to work in your life. Allow him, follow the Spirit of God to wherever he wants to take you. Understand this. Wherever he takes you, whatever he asks you to do, when you do in obedience and in partnership and in agreement with him, the glory of God will be seen.
Amen.
One day the Lord told us to go to a community full of Muslims to go and preach. I said, And that trouble he won't give us. He said, go. He said, if only you go and say what I asked you to go and say, things will be fine. And yes, when they say, I want to share Christ with you. And they were all laughing. Then they brought food, they brought water. I said, they're all looking for people who come there and just understand what they do. After we sat down, we had two of them getting born again. Not in Ghana anyway, in Benin. The next thing, before we realized, other people, we were able to get about 5 or 6 people to get born again. You see, the moment you understand that God has called you, and your life is not yours, your life is his, to use for his glory, you understand that you are workmanship in his hands. That money you have is not for you. Please, stop making noise there. He can ask you tomorrow to empty your account for us to go and buy a bus for the church. Do you understand that? And in any case, what at all have you given God that are making noise like that? What is the problem? You know, people make noise as if, people make noise in church as if they're giving God life. And I bought the church this, and so what? And so what? Do you know what people do even in Islam? And they don't even make noise. Please keep quiet. Whatever you give to God, you give out of love. And it's out of worship to him. You don't go and stand tomorrow and start pointing finger at the things you bought for him. That alone tells you that you were never born again. I'm telling you, 100%. There's no excuse for that. If you can come to church and you give God an offering, give pastor a seat, and tomorrow that is your point of making noise, you were never born again before. Never. Go ask the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you. You were never born again. Because it means that you were giving him with an ulterior motive, waiting for one day that you make a reference to that. Who does that? But I pray that God will help us, that we love him out of the new love. We love him. Because when you love him, you push his agenda, you keep his commandments,
amen.
And you'll be there for people.
Amen.
May God help us tonight, wherever we are, that we love him with all our hearts, our mind, and our soul. And that we love our neighbors as ourselves. And become a workman. Become a tool with his hands. In your family, in the ministry, in your workplace, in your community, in your environment, wherever you find yourself. Yeah, you have your tight days of falling, days of shortcomings, but when you yield to the Holy Spirit and move by instruction on daily basis, you'll get to a destination. God bless you, wherever you are, and let's pray.